for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience. I'm John Lawrence, IBJM Director of Ministries, and your host for today's program. I wanted to invite you to pray for some special needs in our missionary family. We can always use prayer here at IBJM, and Jewish missions is often a difficult place to be and a difficult ministry, but there are many good things happening as well. And we'd like to include you out there as our special prayer partners in the work of the ministry among Jewish people. Joey and Leah Klapp are in Kiev, Ukraine right now. They're learning the Russian language. The Ukraine, of course, is in turmoil at the moment with protests and some violence even. So we could pray for their safety. We could also pray for the language learning that they are undergoing. They've been there for a year and a half now, have 6 more months to go, and they are learning Russian. Pray also for opportunities for them to perfect their spoken Russian. They've asked us to pray for that, and including opportunities to witness to others. They will return later this year to the States to continue their deputation in order to get to New York City to work with Russian Jews, and they'll be cooperating in that ministry with the Gibson family at Shalom Baptist Church in Queens. Pray, too, for Jerry and Aaron DeMoulin. They are in the very early stages of planning a church, a new church, Discovery Baptist, in the town of Kiryas Joel in the metro New York City area, too. And there is a very Orthodox Jewish community there to be reached, in addition to the whole town, really, which is without a true Bible-believing church. Pray also for some in our ministry here who are sick. We think of Jean Ard, who is the wife of our South America director, and Jean is recovering from some rather heavy cancer treatments. Pray for a cancer-free report for her when she has her checkups later this spring. Also, please pray for Edna Fick, who is suffering from multiple medical problems, and she is now on hospice care. And pray, too, for her husband, Brother Lee Fick, who is her primary caregiver. He is 92 and still very active in the ministry here among Jewish people in Chattanooga, so make their situation a matter of prayer. And then we'd also like to ask you to pray the Lord of the harvest for some new workers. We have need of some new missionary workers for a number of needy fields. Ask the Lord, would you, to call out some workers who would be willing to be obedient and who would surrender to go to places where Jewish people need to hear the gospel. Pray for our work in the Middle East, where it remains sometimes difficult to keep workers there in restricted access countries and so forth. We are thankful for what the Lord is doing there, but one of our senior men there hasn't been able to obtain a visa, and so you pray for them. Pray for Brother Howard Rothenberg and his teaching ministry with Bible studies down in Miami, Florida. He's in 7 or 8 nursing home and assisted living places where there are many elderly Jewish people. Some of those folks were saved this past year. We praise the Lord for that. Some of these folks he works with are in their 80s and 90s even, and they have come to know the Lord through his faithfulness in teaching those Bible studies. So you ask the Lord to save some more of those Jewish people that are under the sound of his teaching every single week. Pray in general for our Jewish contacts throughout the ministry with some 40 workers that we have around the world, 14 countries. Pray that our witness might be fruitful with them, that the word of God as promised would not return void. Pray also that Jewish people might be saved, that they might come to know Jesus the Christ as their personal Messiah and Savior. You know, God desires for his people to be delivered from their sins, just as is so with all of the rest of us. And he desires that they would come to a saving knowledge of his Son, the Jewish Messiah, and the Savior of the world. So please pray for the work going on and ask the Lord to give fruit for the labor. Now let's tune in to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman, who brings today's Bible study.
We welcome you back to this radio broadcast. In our last session, we continued our study of Hebrews 11 by looking at the lives of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and how their faith glorified God. We now turn our attention to three other Old Testament characters that appear in the book of Genesis: Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The Old Testament did not contain much material about Isaac, even though he lived for 180 years, a lifespan longer than either his father Abraham or his younger son Jacob. Yet the writer of Hebrews mentioned an incident in that patriarch's life, in which Isaac demonstrated his faith. Quote, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come," unquote. Let's provide a little background upon this statement. Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, Esau, who was slightly the elder, and Jacob, who was the younger. The author of Genesis had earlier noted that, quote, "Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents," unquote. Isaac showed partiality to Esau. Rebekah favored Jacob. Genesis chapter 27 contained an account of the circumstances underlying Isaac's blessing his sons. That patriarch asked Esau to kill venison and fix it as a meal for him. Isaac used language like this, quote, "that my soul may bless thee before I die," unquote. Words that implied that he, Isaac, would soon bestow an important benediction upon Esau. His wife Rebekah sought to thwart her husband's intentions. She told Jacob to fetch two young goats for her to cook. Jacob, wearing Esau's clothing, would then bring the food to his father. Her action suggested that she wanted Jacob, not Esau, to receive Isaac's blessing. To achieve that end, she perpetrated a deception upon her husband. The scene that followed must have greatly unnerved Jacob. On several occasions, Isaac asked him whether he was actually Esau. Jacob, in reply, repeatedly lied about his identity. When Jacob moved closer to his father and the latter felt him, Isaac observed, quote, "the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau," unquote. Notwithstanding, Isaac bestowed his blessing on Jacob, though he believed him to really be Esau. After Jacob departed, the real Esau entered, bearing the meat that his father requested. The perturbed Isaac told him, quote, "thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing," unquote. Nonetheless, Isaac blessed Esau as well. From the account provided in the Genesis narrative, it seemed as though the benediction of Isaac did not actually involve the exercise of faith on his part. How can the writer of Hebrews ascribe faith to Isaac when that patriarch did not actually bless the son whom he intended to bless? The opening verses of Genesis chapter 28 might shed light on this matter. At that time, Isaac blessed Jacob before the latter's departure to Padan Aram. Isaac said, quote, "God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham," unquote. On that occasion, Isaac knew exactly which son he addressed when he gave that benediction. Thus, he knowingly designated Jacob, not Esau, as the heir of God's promises. Moreover, God had previously appointed Jacob as the recipient of his pledges to Abraham. Before Rebekah gave birth to the twins, God told her, quote, "two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger," unquote. By blessing Jacob, according to Genesis chapter 28, Isaac thereby ratified God's choice between Jacob and Esau. The author of Hebrews then turned his attention to Jacob himself. Quote, "by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff," unquote. According to the 48th chapter of Genesis, Joseph had brought Manasseh, Joseph's older son, and Ephraim, Joseph's younger son, to his blind and dying father, in order for Jacob to bless the two. According to the author of Genesis, Jacob did bless both boys, saying, quote, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth," unquote. Yet Jacob knowingly gave precedence to Ephraim, the younger son, over Manasseh, the older son. By doing so, he followed the pattern of his own father, confirming a younger son over an older son. The writer of Hebrews commended Jacob for going against custom and tradition, for acting as Isaac had done, in order to confirm God's will for Joseph's two sons. Jacob was an interesting mixture of faith and worldliness. Throughout much of his life, he seemed to rely more upon his quick-wittedness than he depended upon God. As noted above, Jacob deceived his father in order to gain Isaac's blessing. He connived against his father-in-law Laban to acquire a portion of that man's flocks and herds. Yet, as Jacob lay dying, he demonstrated his faith in God by giving priority of place to Joseph's younger son. Some commentators have had trouble with the following statement made in Hebrews about Jacob. Quote, "He worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff," unquote. These individuals have questioned why, on Jacob's deathbed, he would commit an act of idolatry. However, a careful reading of the text in Hebrews will dispel that problem. The author did not declare that Jacob worshipped the top of his staff, as though he had some image engraved upon it. Instead, the writer noted that Jacob leaned on that object in order to sit on his deathbed. As a greatly weakened man who, moreover, was on the brink of death, Jacob might well have required assistance to perform such a strenuous act as sitting up. After Jacob, the writer of Hebrews turned his attention to Joseph. Here's what he wrote, quote, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones," unquote. Of all of the figures in the Old Testament, Joseph most resembled Jesus Christ with regard to his attitudes and his life circumstances. Both men became the subject of undeserved hatred from their own kinsmen. Both Joseph and Jesus Christ experienced unjust condemnation and punishment. God exalted both Joseph and Jesus Christ to positions of honor. Yes, both Joseph and Jesus Christ serve as examples of faith. The 50th and final chapter of Genesis depicted Joseph as he lay dying. He told those in attendance, quote, "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob," unquote. At the time Joseph spoke those words, such a possibility seemed unlikely. A generation of Egyptians had arisen, which, quote, "knew not Joseph," unquote. They did not remember how he had kept their ancestors from starving during the 7-year famine in Egypt. Nevertheless, Joseph believed that they would indeed return to the land of promise. Joseph made another statement on his deathbed, quote, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence," unquote. Though Joseph would receive a magnificent funeral as an Egyptian potentate, he did not want his body to remain in Egyptian soil. Even though Joseph had spent most of his life in Egypt, he still identified as a Jew. Since he could not receive an immediate burial in Canaan with his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph could at least have asked his peers to inter his bones with theirs at some later date. Joseph's bequest also indicated that he believed in a future resurrection of his body. Perhaps he knew about the famous declaration that Job had made in the 19th chapter of that book. Quote, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth," unquote. He believed that God would cause the dead to rise again. When that happened, he wanted his body to lie with those of his forefathers. We've now come to the end of another Bible study. Thank you for your attendance. Please join us as we again look at characters mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.